Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all on this fine Sunday. Would you please stand with us? We're going to sing a few songs where we're going to focus on Jesus, our King, and we're going to worship him as the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. So we're going to start with the song, All Hail King Jesus. He is exalted, 296, if you want to follow along in the hymn.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will. Exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
He is the Lord again.
He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
One more time.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
And number 297, Majesty, we'll sing through twice.
Majesty. worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem raised. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem raised. And so exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorify, of all kings.
Jesus, we worship you. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will say that you are Lord. And we choose to say that now and to worship you as our King now in this place, Jesus. And it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.
Good morning. If you could take this time to greet someone around you, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Okay, and then for Father's Day, hopefully you'll find this funny. It's a short video with dad jokes, is my understanding, so that has to be funny.
Okay, dads, let's go ahead and get started, guys. Now, some of you have already let me know how uncomfortable you were in last week's meeting. So tonight, we're gonna try to respect each other's boundaries.
What?
Tonight we've also got a guest with us, David. And would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hey guys,
I'm David.
David. How many kids do you have, David?
None. At least, not at the moment. My wife is pregnant, and she should be delivering any day now.
That's great.
Super.
Oh, great.
Awesome. Who'd like to go first? Anyone. Anyone.
I'll go.
Perfect. Todd?
Yes.
My daughter and I went to the mall, and she said she wanted to take the stairs to the second level. And I said, I don't trust stairs, because they're always up to something.
Todd, I'm sorry that happened. I encourage you to try to resist the urge to make jokes like that.
My turn? Okay. Can I go? Okay. Yesterday, actually, my daughter got home and she asked me how my day was. And I said, well, a guy tried to sell me a coffin, but that's the last thing I need.
Oh, Jerry, that joke is dead on arrival.
Because it's the last thing I need.
David, how about you?
Oh, I didn't say
this is a safe zone. Just jump on in.
Yeah, I guess I'm just scared of being a dad. I'm afraid I'm gonna start telling bad jokes just like my dad.
Well, it might be in our nature. We can fight against it.
Hey, speaking of nature, I tried to catch some fog yesterday. I missed. M-I-S-T.
Oh, you're a monster. This is where the boundary is.
I'm done.
This is where you are.
Hello? Really? Okay, yeah, no. Yeah, I'll be right there. That was Julie. Her water just broke. I guess the baby finally ran out of womb. I'm gonna be a dad.
Don't you think you should be going?
Oh, yeah.
So I told my wife she drew her eyebrows too high. She seemed surprised.
So maybe at least today we can have the permission to make stupid jokes and inappropriate comments and stuff like that. So with that, we'll invite the ushers up and we'll do our offering, if you would pray with me. Dear God, Lord, we thank you for entrusting us to be stewards of what is yours. And Lord, we ask for your guidance and your leadership in how to give back what you've first given us and how that should be used to glorify you and to promote your kingdom. Lord, we lift this offering up and we ask that you are given honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
So as we've been singing about Jesus, our King, we're going to sing a couple of songs of our response to such a King, which is, appropriately, it's to just come before him because he accepts us just as we are, and to surrender ourselves completely to him, to have him be the Lord and the King of our lives. So would you stand with us, and we're going to sing a couple songs to do with that, starting with Just As I Am, number 435. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 6.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid myself of one dark blot, to thee blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come.
Now I surrender all. Number 433.
I surrender. Savior, I surrender all
that we are, every area of our life, every person that we hold dearly, everything that we cling to in this world, Jesus, we surrender it all to you, to be under your lordship and for you to have control of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stay standing for the reading of Scripture at this time.
We're reading from Matthew 6:25-34. And we start with verse 25.
Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious about saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, and happy Father's Day again. As Larry the Cable Guy said, if that's not funny, get out of here. That video was kind of funny, but not really funny. Anyway, there are many people today in our church that are hurting and suffering. I don't know all of them by name. I do know a number of them, like Mr. Jim Olson. Gracie Ernest has shingles that she's dealing with right now, and as you know, if anybody that's had shingles, it's quite painful, and a number of people have that. We want to pray for Gracie Barr to continue to heal, and I have a friend down in Little Fork, Von Morgan, that is an elderly gentleman that has heart trouble, but he's still going, and I like going down to see him. And I just want to pray for everybody in the congregation today that is hurting and suffering of one kind or another. So, Lord, I just bring you all these people today in our church and in our town, Lord, that are hurting and suffering from one issue or another. It seems like cancer has been the overwhelming theme lately. And we just ask you, Lord, to heal us. The true healing comes from you, Lord, whether it be here on earth or if it's time to go home with you. But either way, Lord, we just ask you for that. We pray for that. And I want to thank you for all the people that are here today and to bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for reading, Kimberly. I am going to reread that scripture out of another Bible. When I get the opportunity to preach, I look up things in several Bibles. And Pastor Darren told me the topic today is joyful giving, kingdom-minded. Well, as you heard Kimberly read out of the ESV, the heading says, do not be anxious. In the NAS, which is the American standard, it says, the cure for anxiety. NIV says, do not worry. The Life Application Bible says Jesus teaches about worry. So what I wanted to read, first of all, was, I got to get this closer, the print's so small. This is what it says in the Message Bible. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you are closest in, closed in fashion. There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more than the outer appearance than your clothes that hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God, and you count far more than they do. Has anyone by fusing in front of a mirror ever forgotten or ever gotten taller, even as much as 1 inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at fashion, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop or have seen color or design quite like it. The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside of them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and what he works fuss over things, but you know that both God and how he works. Steep your life in God's reality, God's initiative, and God's provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. I kind of wanted to break this down verse by verse. And then we find in Matthew 6:25 says, it kind of goes along with, the same God who created life in you can be trusted with the details of your life. Why do we worry about things of the world, whatever they may be? Do you not believe that God is in complete control? No matter what we think or do, or how we feel, or what we say, the Lord knows every word we speak, even before it's formed in your mouth. He knows what's going to come out. There are no surprises to Jesus. We aren't going to do anything he's not aware of. We worry about things that most of the time are out of control, yet we worry. What we say, what will he say? What will she think? Does this look good on me? Will someone laugh at me or not want to be around me because I think differently, believe differently? What is it that drives us to criticize others for whatever reason? Back to the point of trust. What does that really mean in my life and your life? How much comfort do we gain waking up every morning and knowing that God that created the universe is interested in the details of my everyday life? He is not only interested, but he can be trusted if we allow that. That's the problem, if we allow that. Because of free will, we have the choice to entrust daily life to our Lord. It is much like the sheep that are frequently used as examples in the Bible. They have comfort and trust in their shepherd. They have a comfort. On their own, they can only wander. There's no peace, no comfort, and no accomplishment. I remember back when Pastor Darren gave a sermon one day about sheep, and they get to know their pastor or their shepherd's voice, and they just won't follow anybody. They follow their shepherd. Do we know the voice of the Lord? Are we following the voice of the Lord? This is the same with us. So what does this really mean to us today? Does my Lord care about my job or what I'm contributing to people around me? He certainly does. He is waiting to be a part of our lives and for the opportunity to shine through our abilities. He gave me abilities that I have, and he's asking for availability from us. When I was asked to do this job, which I call a privilege, I told Pastor Darren and the leadership team, I'm not schooled in theology or, you know, I'm not the smartest guy and the brightest bulb in the tree. But Darren said to me, are you available? God will work through you if you're available. So I said, I am available. So when you put that together, it's a clear reflection of what Christ can do in you and in me. There are many things or details in the life that get in the way of the big picture or the vision of Christ working through us. We don't live in a perfect place or world that isn't going to have aversion. We can eliminate everything that causes friction or diversion. We are commended to be in the midst of this and to be Jesus to everyone. Again, we need to practice the trust that God will be in charge of the details of our lives. I need to also talk about our responsibility in this. We cannot sit back and say that we entrust everything to Christ and then do nothing about it. We have been given knowledge, the opportunity, the availability. Our part of the situation is to work hard at the opportunities that are presented to us. We all live in a country and society that offers us freedoms that not all believers in Christ have. We also have the availability of God's Word that is free for us to study, absorb, without persecution. God has also given us each individual gifts, spiritual gifts, that are useful for kingdom work. It's our job to identify that and use it to the best of our ability. I have to admit a personal story about this very thing. I didn't know my Lord and Savior until I was in my late 40s. I knew who God was, and I had education about the church and religious events, but I didn't know him on a personal basis until I was much older. After several years for the thirst of his word and growth from hearing his word and through prayer, I had some challenges that were presented to me. I had been attending a national group, Bible study group called Bible Study Fellowship, an intense study of the Word of God. It was a 7-year program, and many men signed up for it. And we were all told if you missed 3 times in a year, you could be let go because there were people waiting to get in. And so it was something that was quite challenging. And also it was, I'm going to say nationwide, maybe worldwide, but businessmen, if they traveled to Chicago or California, whatever, this was every Monday night at 7 o'clock. So you could join a group in a different part of the country and keep up with your Bible study if you're out of town in business. So that was a pretty nice thing. They approached me and asked me to lead and teach children while their fathers were attending the 3-hour teaching session. I immediately said, that's not for me. I don't like kids. And that's not to say I don't like kids. They can all go home. I like big kids, like my age. But I do like kids. I have grandkids, and I love them dearly, but I think it takes a special knack to to do these the things that the church here and Awana and Pastor Seth with younger children, and oh, he's with the teens. I think Darren has the younger ones, but that's just not my thing. I love little kids as long as their parents are there. So I immediately thought this wasn't for me, and I didn't like kids and knew nothing about teaching them anything. So here's where being available comes into the story. In fact, my wife said to me, she called me Moses, because Moses didn't want to go help the Israelites. He said, send somebody else. Well, I immediately said, no, that's not for me. I'm not going to do that. And she looked at me and called me Moses. And I said, what'd you call me Moses for? She said, well, he didn't want to go either. And I said, oh, I don't like that. So this was an opportunity for God to work through me and use my abilities. Every Monday night, I would show up about a half hour early. I had a teaching partner, and we would trade off weeks. And I think, as most people, I have my own opinion. So I would get to church every Monday night, and I'd walk around the room for about 20 minutes and pray and say, Lord, let me speak your word, not my opinion, to these children. Your word is truth. They need to hear the truth, not what I think. So I got there early every night and did that. So there was a strong urging in my spirit that I could step up to this opportunity and that God would have the glory. To make a long story short, I accepted the opportunity with the true hope that God would shine through me. He did. I studied and spent large amounts of time on children's lessons and also the men's lessons, but felt zero confidence in myself. God was trusted with the details of my life in that very challenging time. I found it quite interesting and amazing that when I accepted that job of teaching the children, the men met every Saturday morning, the group leaders, and they would go over the lesson for the week, and then they would have their group on Monday night. And I worked hard at those lessons, and I wasn't afraid to talk, as you know that. So when a question was asked, I would be the first one to say, well, and I would say something, and I had a guy say, you know what, you're always the first one to answer. And I said, well, I did this lesson. I'm not just going to sit here. Well, I used to ask the group leaders, well, what do you think about the question then? And they said, well, I can't answer that. I did that on Saturday. But the thing that got me the most on Saturday mornings was we would all sit around in a circle, and if we had any things we needed prayer for, we'd ask for them, and then the leader, we'd sing a couple songs, and the leader would say, let's go into prayer. And there was about 50 to 60 guys, and they all fell on their face and their hands and their knees on the floor, and I just had a chill go down my back like I've never had in my life. What an opportunity to praise God. And people would call out prayers continually for about 20 minutes. And then after about a minute or so of silence, the main leader, he would say, okay, let's end in prayer. And he would say something, and we'd go to our classes. But that was one of the most stunning things in my life on praising God. It was awesome. So I'll continue on here that God was trusted with the details of my life in that very challenging time. So Matthew 6:26, worrying about the future hampers your or our efforts today. Let's discuss worrying. When I worry, I try to anticipate everything and anything that may happen in a specific circumstance. I can turn something horrible and take it over in my thoughts. Is this what God had intended for us, for his children? We claim to have surrendered our lives to Christ, but the act of worrying is the act of taking back control of our very lives and our destiny. I don't believe we have the capability to effectively control our lives without harm and making lots of mistakes, which we're all aware of, I'm sure. When I consider my options of worrying about the future versus walking in faith, it seems so simple. I can say all the right things. I can trust that God has my best interest in mind and that he loves me. But do I let him take control? I can understand that I have no power on this earth to change things. I love my Lord and want to follow him. So why is it so tempting and common for me to take over and worry about my own future? My sinful nature is a big part of this constant battle. I think of a time in my life where walking in faith became very important to my wife and I. We lived in Madison, Wisconsin. We're only married for about a year. We lived in a nice apartment and discussed ever buying a house again. And she said, well, you know, maybe it's best we live here in case the Lord calls us to do something else. Well, that next summer, I came up here to meet my in-laws, and I liked it here. And on the way home, I said, you know, I could live there. I could be happy there. Well, most of you that know my wife, she grew up here. And now, from small town to a big city, she really liked the big city. So she said, I don't want to go back there. And I said, well, didn't you say that the Lord may use us to do something in the future? She said, yeah, I did. I said, well, then we should talk about it. We came up the next year for another graduation party, and I said, boy, I could really live there. And she looked at me, she said, are you serious? And I said, yes, I'm serious. So she had to look for a job because I was at retirement age, and I thought we'd move up to take care of aging parents. I don't know if I should say this or not, but my father-in-law will be 99, God bless him, if he makes it to December this year. And you all, most of you know him. So I thought I'd help him out now and then and do a few things at the church, maybe clean carpet, cut lawn, something like that. So we talked about the possibility of moving back to the area to be around aging parents and explore other benefits of living in International Falls. I have to say that I was at peace with the entire plan, and I guess I have to say that that was at first. And God gave me the strength to not enter into a world of worry. For months, we discussed how God might use us, and we both began to soften and become encouraged about this possibility. At this point, my wife said, we'll move forward in faith and take one step at a time. For us to make a 500-mile journey, it would be necessary for my wife to have a job prior to moving, and she had been sending resumes and interviewing, nothing coming together. My wife works at Border Bank, and it was interesting when she got the first information on the bank. They sent her out some papers to do. She filled them out, sent them back. Never heard anything for about 2 weeks. Then we got some other papers about 2 weeks later, and she filled them out and sent them back. Never heard anything for about 2 weeks. Then she got some other papers and sent them back. Never heard anything for about 2 weeks. And I said, you know, most companies nowadays search outside to make it look good because they're going to hire internally. You're probably wasting your time. They got somebody else. Well, the next thing was they said, well, we like everything we've seen about you. Now we want to meet you in person. And being it was a bank, they couldn't Skype. We had to come up here. So I'm back in International Falls again, loving where I'm at. So we thought the Lord might be telling us before that maybe another 6 months before the right job came along. So we signed a new one-year lease in Madison. Within days, one of the employers called and said, the only thing left to do is to meet you in person. So we came up here. Just when we had given up, everything started to happen. Matthew 6:27 says, worry is more harmful than helpful. Now the worrying began. What about our apartment? Can we sublease it? We need a truck, a large truck. Can we to haul everything? What about our other car? Where will we live? What will I do? Can I get help when we get there to unload the truck? What will I do after that? Questions, questions, worry, worry. Then we asked the Lord to show us the way, his way. A few days after we returned home, a young man took over our lease. Now we're down to 3 weeks. Still no truck, no place to live. I started getting a few friends lined up to help us move, load the truck, because I, that time, was still pushing forward, thinking it was going to happen. So we got everything. My wife packed up little by little, and we lived on the third floor. And the last day we packed up, she moved just about everything down to the main floor, except the furniture, for loading. And after that, I got a team over, because a fellow called us and said, you know, I have a truck. And also, I have the tow trailer that you can put your car on and tow that. So now we just needed a place to live. My brother-in-law called and said, there's a house that is empty. It's a builder's home. And I asked the fellow if he would rent it out, and he said he would. And not only that, it was on the lake. So we lived on the lake for the first 10 months we were here, which was great. So when we got up here, a fellow helped us unload. The Lord took care of everything. Did we worry? No. Yes. Did it cause friction, stress in our lives? Absolutely. The point here is to give it to the Lord in prayer. He does hear your prayers, and He does answer them. Matthew 6, 28 through 30, God does not ignore those who depend on Him. Well, we put all our dependence in the Lord, and He took care of it. God wants to help us. We are His children, and He loves us unconditionally. He wants to be involved in all we do, always. At all times, regardless of our situation, God never changes. He can't. He won't. His word is true. His favor is true. It's impossible for God to lie or not follow through on what He says. How does He want us to be? He said His Holy Spirit will indwell us. Let me read that again. How close does He want us to be? He said His Holy Spirit will indwell you. Your body is His temple. That close enough? God is a giver. He wants to give good gifts. He wants for us to be happy. He longs to please us. We are His crowning creation. What are we giving back to God? Giving back to God, giving gifts to God, is much more than money. As I said earlier, we all have different spiritual gifts, and we all can use them in many different ways. Are you willing to seek out and use your gifts to those in need? Matthew 6, 31 through 32. Worry shows a lack of faith in understanding of God. We need to trust God. His word is true. Matthew 6, 33. There are real challenges God wants us to pursue, and worrying keeps us from them. If I live in worry, I cannot walk by faith. They are opposites. Matthew 6:34, living one day at a time, keeps us from being consumed with worry. Worriers, by contrast, are consumed with fear and find it difficult to trust in God. They let their plans interfere with their relationship with God. Don't let worries about tomorrow affect your relationship with God today. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, Creator of heaven and earth, of all things seen and unseen, as Moses said in Psalm 90, verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. We need You, Jesus. We need You in our daily walk. We need to give You control, complete control of our lives. And Lord, it's not easy for us to do as human beings, thinking that we know better than you, that we should do and what we should worry about, because we do worry. Giving you complete control will take worry away. I just thank you for that, Lord. I ask you to bless each and every one of these people today and take the worry from them. In Jesus' name, amen.
This last song that we're going to sing comes directly from the text that we just studied. Seek ye first, number 524. Would you please stand and let's respond to what we just heard.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Lord Jesus, it's a challenge to seek your kingdom first, Lord, when we're also looking after the cares and the worries of this life, the kingdom that we end up trying to live for and satisfy, Lord, our own kingdoms that we've built. But to seek your kingdom first and to trust it all to you is really difficult. Give us the strength to make daily decisions to do that. In your name we pray, amen. Now you can have a seat at this time because we're going to start with a video for our announcements.
Lead your kids on a life-changing adventure with Jesus this summer. Welcome to SunQuest Rainforest, the all-new VBS from Gospel Light. Better than a South American vacation, this year you can take your kids where they'll explore the wonders of God's Word by discovering five Bible verses that will change their lives. SunQuest Rainforest is a vibrant place filled with wild animals, brilliant birds, and enormous bugs and plants. The colors explode with intensity. It's a place to discover tremendous trees, tiny frogs, wild weather, and even flavors like pineapple and chocolate. And as always, Gospel Light makes it easy for you to plan, to decorate, and to recruit volunteers so that you can effectively reach kids for Jesus. We'll guide you step by step. For most churches, Vacation Bible School is the year's best opportunity for reaching children with the good news of God's love. So you'll want to make the most of it by choosing the VBS that is specially designed to reach kids for Christ, Gospel Light VBS. Only Gospel Light provides evangelism opportunities every day and the salvation message in every lesson. It's Jesus every day. We're on your side as your guide when it comes to reaching children and their families with the message of God's love and salvation through Jesus. And it's not just for kids. It's for every age, from nursery to adults. Here in the rainforest, we'll learn five Bible verses that will change our lives, illustrated by five parables that Jesus told. We'll get it by learning to hide God's word in our hearts and discover how to get found through John 3:16. we'll learn how to get God's love and be inspired to pass it on, then learn to get praying and to get going, doing our very best in everything for God's glory. To see a complete outline, visit our website at gospellightbbs.com. So, if your church is serious about reaching kids and families for Christ, then Gospel Lights VBS is for you. This summer, take kids beyond their senses to discover a life-changing adventure with Jesus in Sunquest Rainforest. Gospel Light VBS, it's Jesus every day.
Well, it's that time of year again. So we're getting excited about VBS. It's going to be July 9th through the 12th when our group from California will be helping us. It will be Sunday evening, or from Sunday through Wednesday evenings, from 5:30 is for supper, and 6 to 8 is the VBS. So as always, I'm up here. I'm looking for people to help. I hope that this excites you and that you would be willing to pitch in wherever we need. That's the main thing for today. There are sign-up sheets out on the back table. If you are interested in helping in any way, we really need small group leaders. I need someone who would like to decorate or take charge of the decorations. It would be fun to turn this into a rainforest. So if you're interested in helping decorating, let me know. We'll need people to help with crafts and the snacks, the games. Each one of those areas, as always, we need people who love kids and are willing to just be with them for 4 nights. As always, we need prayer. That's the main thing. If you would sign up just to be praying, that would be the main, advantage for our VBS this year. So there, on the sign-up sheet, there's a place for you to put your email address, and then we'll contact you about prayer requests. So next week we'll have the invites in the bulletin. Please be praying about who you'd like to invite, whether you have grandkids or neighbor kids, friends of your own kids. This is an outreach to our community, so we'd really like to see more kids than just our Sunday school kids coming. Then, so this is, I have one other area that is not related to Bible school. Next week, a large group from Pecanjicum are going to be sleeping in our church Saturday night, June 24th. And if you'd like to help out with that, they won't arrive until about 8:30, but we usually provide us like a snack of some sort, and then breakfast, nothing big, I like a continental breakfast. But if you'd like to help with that, there will be a sign-up sheet there. They're on their way to a conference in Kansas City, so we're like the halfway point for them. And it's just a really cool opportunity to minister, help Colleen, and then to minister to the kids that she's bringing. If you'd like to, you can help bring, supplies or food for that, but if you'd like to get to know or meet the kids briefly, that's a great opportunity to do that. So two opportunities to sign up. Thank you again for your prayers for both of these things.
And I believe you all got a coupon to go get a free donut over at Tim Hortons. So at this time, I would like to thank Seth and the worship team for their music this morning. And for our benediction, I would ask you please to bow your heads and pray for God's blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now let's go serve and love the Lord. Testing, testing, testing. Sounds pretty good. Thank you.